try to do this evening. 1 Thessalonians 5 is where we're going to be at this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5. I've got a lot to give you today, and I'm going to try to do it in a reasonable amount of time. I've been trying to do that, and so I don't wear you completely out. But I am going to give you a text, and I'm going to title this message 7 Life-Changing Attributes. 7 Life-Changing Attributes. If I get all 7 done, I'm going to try to this morning. But if I don't, then if I see it's going too long, I'll break it into half. So you stay with me. I want 7 life-changing attributes. And let me go ahead and read them to you in verses 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 22. Now, before I read this, I want you to understand something. These things that I'm giving you out of this text will change your life. And they'll change your attitude. You need these. We all need these. So it's 7 of them total, 7 life-changing attributes. And let's go ahead and look at the first one. They're right here all together. Rejoice evermore. Is that a command or an option? It's a command, yeah. Pray without ceasing. Number 3, in everything give what? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. Verse 21, approve all things, hold fast to that which is good. That's the 6th one. And then verse 21, approve all things, hold fast to that which is good. Then verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. So those are 7 life-changing attributes that's given in this text. Now, I'm going to tell you a little something about this text. If you practice these 7 life-changing attributes, guess what it'll do? It'll change your life. It'll give you joy and it'll give you peace. We need to have these things in our life. If you're here today and saved and you're born again, we need to have these attributes in our life. So I'm going to go ahead and go down through them, and we're going to note, you need to notice for yourself whether you have them in your life or not, because if you don't, you need them in there. These things will make you happy. It'll make you a better Christian. It'll make you a better witness. It'll help you all the way around. So it's going to be 7 life-changing attributes. Okay, let's go ahead and look at the first one. I like the first one. We've talked about it a good bit. But verse 16, notice it says to rejoice, rejoice evermore, to rejoice evermore. I think if you're here today and you're born again, you have a reason to rejoice. Does everybody agree? And I think that we should choose to rejoice every day of our life. When we get up in the morning, like we always say, we tell the great king, good morning. I'll say, good morning, master. And I make the choice to rejoice. And I mentioned to him, I thank him for saving me and redeeming me and giving me everlasting life. And I'm thankful for his promises that he's gave me, never leaves me nor forsakes me. Think about it. He provides for me, and I go on. And I begin to rejoice in what he's done. Now, you know what that does for me? That adjusts my mind. It gets control of my mind the first thing. And here's what I want you to know. You need to get control of your mind first thing every morning. All God's people say it. Now, I want to tell you why God's people ain't what they should be, because the first thing in the morning is they don't rejoice evermore. The first thing in the morning, they go lay down in front of one of that television sets like this right here. And then they pump in all of that and they don't spend no time or they listen to the news. You don't want to listen to the news first thing in the morning. It's mostly bad news. You want to get alone with Jesus first thing every morning, and it'll adjust your mind. You need a mind adjustment. And if you'll get alone with the Lord and you rejoice in him, it will change your starting of your day. It'll change your attitude that day also. So you choose to rejoice evermore. Now, the word rejoice means to be glad. We're to be glad in the Lord. We're to be happy in the Lord. We sing that song, Trust and Obey, and it talks about being happy in Jesus. So, beloved, what do you have to rejoice in? I'm talking to saved people right now, but what do you have to rejoice in? Oh my, I got eternal life. If Jesus would come right now, you know I'm ready to go up. Amen. I rejoice in that. I'm thankful for that. Got a home in heaven, got a home in the Father's house. Jesus is always with me. And you know something? He never leaves nor forsakes me either. So I got a lot of reasons to rejoice. Would you agree with me today that if you're here today and you're born again, you have more reasons to rejoice than you got to complain? All God's people say it. We choose to complain more than we choose to rejoice. Have you ever seen a happy complainer? I don't even like to be around a complainer. I really don't. I hate to tell you that. I really don't like that. I mean, you get around somebody and they're always complaining. Well, if you're saved, you don't need to complain. There's plenty of reasons to be joyful and plenty of reasons to be happy. And one of the greatest reasons is because I'm saved. I got a home in the Father's house. The Lord never leaves nor forsakes me. He provides for me. He protects me. We could talk all morning about what Jesus does, don't you think? And that's what we need to focus on. So we need to rejoice. How often? Rejoice every day. Make that the first thing you do when you wake up is you tell Him good morning and you thank Him for another day that He's given you to live. And you begin to praise Him for the great spiritual benefits that He has given to you. All God's people say it. I got to be careful about this. You keep your place right here. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalms 103. I wasn't going to do it. I've preached from it so much over the years. Psalms 103. I told you recently about this. I pray this. I pray this every day. I do. I pray. When I go for my prayer walks and I spend time with the Lord, I pray this this text. Psalms 103, 1 through 5. I pray it every day. And the reason why I do is it gives you your benefit package. You know, when you get a job and they call you in that little room, you know, then they'll explain to you what your benefits are. You know, if you work a job, you need to have good what? You want to have good benefits. And this is our benefit package. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, this is the benefit package that He's given us. Now, it says in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. See, this is, well, you're praising right here, but it says all that is within me. It's just not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. So He's calling for praise. Twice He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His what? Don't forget His benefits. Now what He does, He names what those benefits are. And this is what I pray. I mean, when I'm praying to the Lord, this is what I say. He forgives all thine iniquities. You know, if you wasn't forgiven for all your iniquities, you'd die in your sin. I've been forgiven for all my iniquities. He didn't miss one of them. The book of Romans says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't charge your sin to you. Oh, by the way, who did He charge your sin to again? Jesus. That's a great benefit. He's forgiven all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. How many times has the Lord healed me in my life? I can't imagine how many different times He's done it. But He's healed me a lot. He heals through medicine too, don't you think? You think He heals through surgeries? He does that too. He gives the doctors the understanding to be able to work on you. That all comes from the Lord. And He can also heal miraculously too. He can also reach down and touch people in a mighty way. We limit what God can do. But you know what? Our God has no limits. He has no limits. And I'm thankful for that. So He forgives you for all your iniquities, heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. That's an eternal destruction. You ever thank the Lord for redeeming you from destruction? That's an eternal destruction from the presence of God. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. I'm thankful for that. He's redeemed me from that. He crowns me with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. You know, you can't count the loving kindnesses and tender mercies that He's bestowed upon me. We sing that song, Great is Your Faithfulness. And it says, morning by morning, new mercies. I see. It's all talking about the blessings of the Lord. Well, every day of our life, if you want to change your life, if you want to change, these are life-changing attitudes. This will change your attitude if you'll do what I'm asking you to do in this text. Rejoice what? rejoice evermore. Philippians 4 and verse 4, you don't have to turn there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord how often? Didn't say sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. All God's people say it. Will y'all do that with me this week? Will you do that with me? Will you rejoice in Him? Make the choice to rejoice every day of your life, and it'll change your attitude day one. Do it every day. Number two, let's go back to our text. And I'm going to move rapidly, as I said in the beginning. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Seven life-changing attitudes. What was the first one? Rejoice evermore. Never stop rejoicing in your Savior. Never stop rejoicing in your Savior. It'll raise you up every time that you do it, and it'll help you, and you'll be more pleasant to be around. I don't like to be around a whiner, do you, or a complainer. I like to be around people that are thankful in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord, so do it constantly. All right, verse 17, let's move on to number two. See, they're all right here together. We can get through it. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without what? Pray without ceasing. That means to continually pray. Now, it doesn't mean you're constantly 24 hours a day in a state of prayer. You can't be that way. You're going to go to sleep eventually. And you got to eat and things of that nature. But to pray, I mean, we eat without ceasing. That means we do it every day. We have an eating habit. We eat morning and noon and evening, sometimes between that too. But we have a habit of eating. We eat without ceasing. Well, here it says to pray without ceasing. God's people need to pray. You know, the first sign of drift, you can know a lot about the Bible, know a lot about the doctrine and different things, but if you don't pray, you're going to drift. I don't care who you are or how long you've been saved. If you don't have a prayer time you get alone with Jesus and have a list, I encourage you to get a list of things that you pray for. If you don't have a list, you'll forget what you prayed for the day before. At least I do. I got to have a list. I got to have things. It's amazing what God does when you ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. What are you asking God to do? Who are you asking God to save? Who are you asking God to heal? Who are you asking God to bring back to church? I mean, I could go on and on. What are you asking God to do? That's where a prayer list comes in. I got a list. I got a prayer list. I pray over that list. There's lost people on that list that I mentioned by name. There's people that have drifted on that list that I mentioned by name. I think we don't see a lot of things happening sometimes because people don't pray. That's why I think the Bible means, and you have not because you what again? Ask not. Pray without ceasing. I'm not going to read all this to you. If you got a pen, you can write these down and look some of these things up. I taught through the book of Luke some years ago. I've taught through the whole New Testament, but I remember this specifically in the book of Luke, and I wrote some of these down. And I'm not going to go to it, but I could, but I'm just, if you got a pen, you can write them down. In the book of Luke, it focuses on Jesus' prayer life. Did y'all realize that? The book of Luke really shows Jesus constantly drawing aside and praying. He constantly did it. And I wrote down the verses where that's recorded in the book of Luke. Luke 3:21, Luke 6:12, Luke 9:18, Luke 9:28 and 29, Luke 11:1-2, Luke 18:1, Luke 22:39-41, all those places that I just quoted to you, it's where it says Jesus went and prayed. If Jesus prayed that much while He was here, don't you think we need to pray that much while we're here? Oh, God's people said, you need to pray without ceasing, continually prayer. I'm telling you this morning, some people are sad here today because they don't pray enough. They just don't pray enough. They don't cast their burdens. They don't get alone with Jesus. Prayer will focus your attention back on the Lord, and it'll raise you up if you'll do it. All God's people say it. Do it. Do it every day. So those are two life-changing attitudes. Rejoice evermore. Make the choice to rejoice every day of your life. Number two, pray without ceasing. And make sure you make yourself a list of things to pray for, because you'll forget, and I forget. I forget everything anymore. But you make a list and you pray. Pray without what again? Pray without ceasing. Are you still in 1 Thessalonians 5? Notice what this one says. Verse 18. In everything. What's it tell you to do? In everything. That's good and bad. In everything, give thanks. Because this is the will of God concerning you, is what the text says. We need to give thanks. What we have to be thankful for? You can't count them, though, can you? What do we really have? Have you ever, if you ever get depressed or discouraged or down, if you'd get alone with Jesus and you just thank Him, and thanks is a way of praising. One of the ways we praise is by the giving of thanks. We begin to thank the Lord. When you get to counting your blessings and thanking the Lord, it's overwhelming what the Lord has done for you. Some of you have experienced this with me here at Elizabeth in that probably my favorite service all year long is the Thanksgiving service. It's the shortest service probably all year long, but the Thanksgiving service, everybody writes down one thing they're specifically thankful for, and I read them. And every time we do it, when we're done, you look at the congregation, everybody's happy. There's no gloomy people in the Thanksgiving service. You know why that is? Instead of complaining, they got their focus up on the great blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And they're giving thanks. Hey, what do you have to give thanks for this morning? I'm asking you. What do you have to give thanks for this morning? I could talk to everybody here today, and everybody here today this morning again has a reason to be thankful. You know, the thing I'm greatest thankful for? I got victory over death. I got victory over death. I'm going to die one of these days if the Lord doesn't come, but I got victory over it. It's just a portal to glory for me. Think about it. It's just a portal to glory is all it is for me, and I'm thankful for that. And we can thank, there's so many things we can be thankful for. It says in everything. Now, this didn't say in some things. It says in what? Do you give thanks in everything? Now, I want you to think about what I just said. In everything, not saying in some things. Now, I give thanks in some things, but there's some things that happen I don't give thanks for because I don't like them. Why does it tell you to give thanks in everything? Because even when you're in a season of hardship, giving thanks still raises you up. In everything, give thanks. Do it every day of your life. Now, I'm going to give you a text that you know very well, and I'm going to ask you, is it true or not? And you know that's a loaded question. Romans 8:28 says this, "For we know that all things works together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, how many believes that? Raise your right hand. Everybody's born again here today. Y'all believe that, really? So that means even the bad works together for the good. There's some things that's happened in my life that I don't understand them. I can't explain to you how it could possibly be for the good. You know what I do? I give Him thanks by faith. I'll say, "Lord, I don't know Your purpose in this thing here that I'm facing right now. I don't know Your cause or purpose at all in this thing. But I do know that Romans 8:28 is true, and I trust You that You have a good purpose for this thing in my life." All God's people say it. And it raises me up. It gets my focus up. You remember old Simon Peter when he climbed out, when he was in the middle of a storm and he got down out of the boat and he kept his focus on Jesus. What was he doing? He was standing in a storm on top of the Sea of Galilee. But the moment he got his focus off the Lord, he sank. All God's people see it. Giving thanks keeps your focus. Listen, giving thanks daily keeps your focus on Jesus and it keeps you standing above the waters. It keeps you standing above the waters. Life-changing attribute number one was rejoice evermore. Number two, pray without ceasing. Number three, in everything, give thanks. Not just in the good, also in the what we would call bad, because he has a purpose for that too. All God's people said again. Number four, verse 19, says to quench not the Spirit. Quench. What's quench mean? It's like throwing water on a fire. You ever throw water on a fire? You quench it out. Here it says not to quench the Holy Spirit. Anything that gets done in a church is done by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that blesses the preaching. The Holy Spirit's the one that saves the soul. The Holy Spirit's the one that works in, that teaches you. He's a teacher. He instructs you and opens your understanding to the things of the Lord. Here it says to quench not the Spirit. You know, I'm going to give you what I think the main way that you quench the Spirit. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the main way that churches quench the Holy Spirit. Well, I think the main way they quench it is by pushing out this book. Hey, somebody tell me who authored this book. I'm asking you. Who authored it? The Holy Spirit did. The Bible says the holy men of God spake as they was moved by the Holy Spirit. This book right here was authored by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that authored it. Had over 40 different writers. It was written over a period of 1,500 years. But it fits together absolutely perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. And the Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures to bring about salvation. And the Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures in order to instruct you in what you should do, what you should not do. The Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures to teach you good, blessed Bible doctrine. What's the word doctrine mean again, I'm asking? Bible teaching. The Holy Spirit uses all of these things. You know how you quench the Spirit in a church? You push out this book. That's how you do it. Holy Spirit uses this book. You know, here, let me give you some things. Are you ready? I'm going to quote these as best I can. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the what? Number two, how do you grow as a Christian? Growth comes from the Word too, doesn't it? Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may what thereby? Grow thereby. How do you get comfort? Comfort comes from the Word too. How about assurance of knowing that you're saved? Where does that come from? That comes from the Word too. How about sanctification? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. How about worship? Worship comes by the Word. And then in Ephesians 5:18, filling of the Spirit comes by the Word. I'm telling you, if you push this book out of your life, if you push this book out of your church, it quenches the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to teach, to instruct, to save. Everything must be patterned after the book. Quench not the Spirit in your life either. Let me ask you a question. I think everybody here probably has their own copy. If you don't have your own copy of the Bible, we'll give you one. But my beloved, you need to spend time in this holy book every day of your life. We, as a people, as a nation, are reaping the benefits of spending maybe 5 minutes a day in reading and studying our Bible and 4 hours in front of a television set. I mean, that don't make you spiritual, does it? You need to have a daily time in this book, and it'll help you to do what? It'll help you to grow. So you quench the Spirit whenever you... Whenever you push out God's Word. And a church that pushes out God's Word quenches the Spirit. How much do you read your book? How much time do you spend in the book? Number five. It says in verse 20 of our text now, it says, despise not prophesying. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Now, prophecy, of course, is, just like we've already said, is the Scriptures. It's the Scriptures. This book is the Law and the Prophets. The Old Testament was called the Law and the Prophets. So don't despise the Scriptures. The Bible says all Scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. The Scriptures is what you need in order to grow as a Christian, in order to grow close to the Lord. You'll never see a Christian close to the Lord that pushes out the Scriptures. That's how you quench the Holy Spirit. And that's how you push out the truth. It really is. So despise not prophesying. Right here's a book of prophecy. The Old Testament was written by the prophets. New Testament by the apostles. Think about it. You need the Scriptures every day of your life in order to be close to the Lord. So despise not prophesying. Don't despise the Scriptures is what it's talking about. Do you love God's Word? Do you love it? Do you love it? Now, if you love it, you come and hear it, right? If you love it, you'll come and hear it. If you love it, you'll have a time set aside for it. You know, when something's important, you know what you do, don't you? When something's important, you set aside a time for it. You need to set aside a daily time that you spend time in your Bible. A daily time that you can spend time with the Lord. Now, the difference between just reading and study is what? Remember what I told you? Pen and paper. You got a notebook. You got a text that you read. We got those daily breads in the back. Get those. We want all of our people to study God's Word. We want them all to have a daily time that they spend in the Scriptures. Get that daily bread back there. It gives you a little text to read and get a devotion. Get you a notebook and a pen and write down what the Lord shows you. And before you study, ask God to show you things. And see how much you grow. I'm going to go ahead and get done. I'm almost done. Seven life-changing attitudes. The first one was rejoice evermore. The second was pray without ceasing. The third is in everything give what? Give thanks. You think those three will change your life? Number four, don't quench the Holy Spirit. How you do that? By pushing out the Scriptures. Number five, don't despise prophesying. Don't despise prophesying. Again, that has to do with the Scriptures too. The Scriptures, Old Testament, like it says, the Law and the Prophets. Number six, prove all things. You know what it means in verse 21 when it says to prove all things? What does that mean? Can anybody holler it out? What does it mean to prove all things? It means to test all things. That's what it means. Test all things. And then to hold fast to that which is what? We're to test everything. Now, here's why I'm trying to tell you. I don't want you to believe everything I say. Now, I do want you to believe everything I say. But I want you to test it and make sure what I'm telling you is right. You just can't assume that everybody's going to tell you what's right. You got to do what? Test it. Put it to the tester. Where's the tester at? It's the book. The Bereans in the book of Acts says that they received the word with readiness of mind. It says they searched the Scriptures daily then to see whether it was so. They received the word with readiness of mind and then they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether it was so. Now, you know something they didn't have that we got? They didn't have their own copy of the Scriptures. This is unheard of what we got. You go back in the Old Testament, there was a king that had, I've mentioned this a million times, but the king had his own copy. But the average Joe didn't have their own copy of the Scriptures, and they only had portions of the Scriptures. We have our own copy. Not only do we have the Old Testament, but we also have the New Testament. And God has put this right in our lap for us to learn and grow in it. We test things by the tester. When someone tells me something, I say, well, let's look at the Bible and let's see whether that's what? So. Let's see if that's what the Bible teaches. Because what the Bible teaches is what's the most important thing. We prove all things. Sometimes I'll preach something here and you'll think, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if he's right there or not. Well, you know what you should do? You should go seek and see. Is it true? Is that what the Bible teaches? Sometimes people come up and say, Pastor, give me the verses for that. I don't know about that right yet, what you just preached on. But give me the verses and I'll ask the Lord and then I'll look and see. That's what we want you to do. And then when you see it yourself, what does it give you? Convictions. When you see it yourself, it gives you convictions. Prove all things. Just don't believe it because the preacher tells you. Believe it because you what? See it. I see it. I mean, I don't want anybody to come against, hey, Jeff, let me go get Jeff so he can tell you how I believe. I don't want that. Let me go get Jeff. He can straighten you out on that. No. You should know what you believe, where it's at in the Bible, and have convictions of it. All God's people say it. Because you know what? You're a teacher in your family, aren't you? Don't you teach your children? Don't you teach your family members? You got to know what to say. They're not, I mean, you can't say, I mean, I'm not always going to be there anyhow. And when you're talking to somebody about the Lord, you need to know what the text means. Test all things. Number 7, this is the last one. Did good. Abstain from all appearance of what? Abstain not only evil itself, but even the appearance of evil. There are certain things you shouldn't put yourself around. Y'all agree? I mean, if it appears to be an evil situation, you stay away from it. When I started serving the Lord, when I quit drinking, I quit running around with drunks. Boy, that wasn't very deep, was it? I just quit running around with drunks. Why did I do that? I knowed I couldn't handle it. If I got back, I hadn't growed none. If I got back around the dopers and the drunkards and all this stuff, I know that I'd go back being the same way I was before. I didn't want to go back there. So I got away from them. I didn't get around them no more. I did it in a good way. I said, boys, I love you. Do anything world for you. Play ball with you and things. But I can't hang with you now. If I hang with you, I'll start drinking again. If I hang with you, I'll get back on drugs again. If I get back around you now, I can't do it. I still can't do it. I don't trust myself. You can't trust yourself because of your flesh. Y'all agree? Don't be surprised back here now. You just one step away from a fall if it's the right thing. You keep yourself from it. I abstain from all appearance of evil. If it's something I see is going to, I look at it, man, I best not go there. Man, I best not do that. Man, I best not own this. If I own this, it's going to take me completely away. You got to abstain from all appearances of evil. Get away from them. Get away from them. These 7, I'm going to give them to you to close here. These are 7 life-changing attributes. These things with the Holy Spirit working will change your life. Y'all agree? There's 7 of them. They're right here. They're easy for you to read. And here's what your assignment is. I want you to read the text in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with rejoice down to, which is verse 15, down to verse 22. I want you to read that every day this week. Would y'all do that for me? Read that every day this week so you can get this in your heart. Number 1, rejoice evermore. Number 2, pray without ceasing. Number 3, in everything, give thanks. Number 4, quench not the Spirit, which comes by pushing out God's Word. Number 5, despise not prophesying. Prophesying is talking about the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the Law and the Prophets. The Law and Prophets, the Old Testament, but the New Testament is Scripture. Number 6, prove all things. That means what? Test it. What I just give you? Test it. When you ever hear a preacher preach, test it. Write the Scriptures down and ask God and look them up and see. Test all things. And then number 7, abstain from all appearance of evil. All God's people said. You think this will change your life?